You've had a good day thus far in the house of God this morning, and also over in Hollywood this afternoon. We knew the Lord's presence, and we're looking forward again to God's servant as he has come back with us tonight. He had to go back home again to Macrofelt. They had a mission commencing in Castle Dawson this afternoon, and Reverend McKee went back home for that to continue to remember that mission as it started and goes on now for 2 weeks. Both him and Mr. McRae will be the evangelists. Pray in your own time for that mission, please, that the Lord will bless and that the Lord will undertake. But we're glad he has made his way back to Belfast tonight, and glad he's here with us. We're glad to have him. We enjoyed his ministry with us this morning, and we're looking forward to God's servant as he comes again tonight. Lord bless you, and come ahead and speak to us. Thank you.
Well, once again, it's a privilege to be here today, and I've been blessed by what I've heard, and I've been very encouraged, and I pray that the Lord will bless each one who's taken part, and that from the very youngest this morning to the eldest this evening, we'll not only know about the Saviour, but we'll know him personally. And the one of him they've been singing and speaking, they will come to know as their own and personal Saviour. And as I said this morning, nothing else in life really matters than that you know Christ as your own Saviour. And therefore, we pray that the Lord will bless this word to our hearts. I'm not going to keep you long, but we want to turn to God's word because it's so important that we do that. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and read a few verses and then pray. Let's hear what God's word says to us. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Says there, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" And with that little question before us, "Where art thou?" we're going to pray. And I would ask you to answer that question just in your own heart as we bow our heads in prayer. Where are you? I know you're in the house of God tonight, but spiritually, where are you? Are you in your sin? Are you a sinner just the way you were born? Or are you a Christian? Are you in Christ? And having answered that question, then let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the privilege once again to be gathered in thy house this Lord today evening. We thank thee for what we have seen and heard. We thank you, Lord, we've been presented with Christ again, how Christ makes the difference, how the Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference, even in the prison cell. We thank you he can give peace and joy and contentment. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful Saviour, one who saves us from all of our sin, one who delivers us through this life, and one who brings us safe to glory. And I thank thee for those who are saved today. I pray, Lord, for God's people in this house. I pray for children who are saved, young people, older people. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. Make them mighty people. Make them those who love their God, who know God very well. Make them those who are good testimonies in their homes, in their school, in their workplace. And, Lord, use them for the extension of thy kingdom. We pray, Lord, that each life will be used and lived to the glory of God. But for those who are not saved tonight in this meeting, we pray you'll speak to their hearts. Lord, thou knowest those who have to answer the question that God asked in the Bible, "Where art thou?" They have to say, "I'm in my sin. I'm on the road that's leading to hell. And should I close my eyes right now in death, I know where I'll be." Oh, Lord, we pray you'll give them wisdom to turn from their sin and turn to the Saviour. Give them wisdom, Lord, not to heed the lies of hell, but Lord, to heed the truth of the Saviour. And we pray, Lord, tonight, to that end, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit, give me the ability to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name and to the extension of thy kingdom. Lord, we're not looking to man tonight, but we're looking to thee. And therefore, Lord, come, have thy full control in this meeting, we pray. And at the end, may we give thee great joy and praise and worship for what thou hast done. Meet with us, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I had a multitude of objects with me this morning. I've only one to show you today. My youngest brother went to India about 4 years ago. And whenever he came back, I called down at Mum and Dad's to see him and say hello, welcome him back, and hear how he had got on his trip to India. And as I went in through the door, I looked into the sitting room, and there's nobody there, but there was this ugly thing sitting on the fireplace. So I went into the living room, and I said, well, it's good to see you. And he goes, oh, it's good to see you. Have you got your present? He says, no, where is it? He says, it's on the fireplace in the sitting room. I thought, great. What am I going to do with that? I'll tell you what I did do. I put it in a cupboard. It wasn't going on display. Look at this. Now, why would anybody want that sitting in their view at any time of the day or night? And interestingly, this day 2 weeks ago, I was in a church in Tennessee and somebody pointed out a snake in the car park and I was going, get me out of here. This is not what I thought this was going to be like. So I thought, what can I do with this? What use could this be to me that I can use it and tell my brother I've used it and thank him for it sincerely? So I thought, I know what I could do with it. I could use it as an illustration. When I'm speaking to people, whether it's Children's Day, youth meetings or whatever, there's something that this teaches us and something I hope and pray that the Lord will use to speak to your heart tonight. Because this, of course, reminds us of the serpent. It reminds us of Satan, the one who came in the Garden of Eden and the one who caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin. Now, whenever we read the Bible and we study the Bible and seek to find what the Lord says about Satan, we find that there are three things. There are many things, but three things I want to highlight to you. He is described as the enemy. In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord describes him as the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, the Lord describes him as the devil, Satan, that old serpent which deceiveth the whole world. And then in John chapter 8, he is called a liar and the father of lies. So looking at this serpent or snake tonight, something that's not particularly pleasing or nice to look at, I believe it teaches us and reminds us of something that I believe we need to remind ourselves, is that Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. And tonight I want to present to you three lies that Satan tells. Three lies that Satan tells to boys and girls, to teenagers, to young people, tells to this world. Maybe you are living your life based on the lies of Satan tonight. And if you are, then you're in great danger. And therefore, I want to present the three lies that Satan always tells. The first one is this. God's word isn't true. God doesn't mean what he says. You see, that was actually the first lie that Satan told. And we have read about it in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Did God really say you're not allowed to do that? And he caused Eve to doubt God's word. And do you know that is still what Satan tries to do today? He said, hath God said, ye shall not surely die. Now God said they would die, and he meant spiritually. But Satan said, no, ye shall not surely die. And because of his lies, and because of the fact that he said God's word wasn't true, instead of living in a beautiful world of order and blessing and joy and happiness and peace and prosperity, they were now living in a world which, if you read down chapter 3, was full of shame, fear, lies, pain, the curse, loss of fellowship with God. You see, Adam and Eve listened to the lies of Satan, and they became sinners. And because of that, every single one born into this world is born as a sinner. Every single one of Adam's race, and that includes you and me, we said this morning in the sheet I held up, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes people blame bad behavior on society. It's the world we're living in. It's the influences that are around us, whether it's in television or magazines or whatever it is. But do you know what? That's not right, because the Bible says we're all born as sinners, and sin is our greatest problem. Do you know that Cain, who was one of the children of Adam and Eve, was brought up in a world without pubs and discos and bad literature? He wasn't under the influence of drugs or anything like that, and yet he became a murderer. Why? Because he was a sinner. And the Bible tells us we are all sinners. Now, there's many people today who would say, no, don't be saying the word sinner. A sinner is a really bad person. Somebody who's maybe in prison. Somebody who's abused another person. Somebody who's murdered another person. That would be a sinner. But you can't call people today sinners. In other words, God's word isn't true. Boys and girls, God's word is true. God's word is true. And if you feel to heed God's word, then you will feel to enter God's heaven. If you feel to heed God's word, you'll feel to enjoy God's salvation. Here are some of the lies that the devil tells us about God's word not being true. The world evolved. Or the world was created with a big bang. And maybe you've heard about evolution in school, maybe you've heard about it in television, and that's a lie to simply take away the word of God. And sometimes, maybe you hear on the news or the radio, people talking about evolution or a debate being on, and when somebody says, I'm a Christian, and I believe the word of God, I believe the Bible, you know what happens? People laugh and say, you're old-fashioned. You're not very intelligent. You're not up to date with science. The Bible isn't real. Let's go to science. Let's look to see what the scientists tell us. And in other words, all they want to do is say, well, there was no God in the beginning. And if they take away God, then they haven't got a creator. And if you haven't got a creator, then there's nobody you have to answer to. And that's the way man wants to live. And maybe that's the way you're living tonight, as if there's no God. Maybe you love the idea of evolution. You hope you're created from nothing, that whenever you die, you just die and that's it. But boys and girls, young people, men and women, God's word is true. Some people will also say, the Lord Jesus Christ was just a man. He was just a man. He wasn't the Son of God. That's a lie that Satan tells. Here's another one. Whenever you die, there's no such place as hell. Everybody goes to heaven. Maybe you've heard of a pop star or a movie star who has died quite suddenly in life, quite young. And whenever you hear it on the news, and maybe there's a little snippet of the funeral or somebody being interviewed, and maybe they had a troubled life, and you know what the person says in the interview? Well, they're at rest now. They're at peace now. That, again, is simply saying God's word isn't true. Because the Bible says there is a hell. And that's where you go when you die if you're a sinner. And it doesn't matter if a minister over your coffin says he's at peace now or he's at rest now. If you're not saved, it's hell. And all of these things, evolution, Christ was just a man, there's no such place as hell, everybody goes to heaven, or there are many different ways to heaven. These are all different types of the same lie. God's word isn't true. I want to tell you tonight, God's word is true. And you can deny it, but it doesn't change the fact that there is a God and he has given us his word. And one day each of us will stand before him and we will tell him what we have done with his word. We've either accepted it, lived our lives based upon it, or we have rejected it. So I trust there's nobody in this meeting tonight. And you've been living your lie based on the devil's lie, God's word isn't true. Because how sad it would be for you to find out too late. How sad it would be for you to have to stand before God before you realize that God's word is true. So that's the first lie that the devil tells. God's word isn't true. You see, if you're in school, somebody asks, what did you do yesterday? And you said, I went to church, and they laugh. And they say, oh, well, if you're going to listen to fairy stories, so be it. You pray for those people. You pray the Lord will open their eyes. You pray for your family who laugh at you when you go to God's house or when you go to a prayer meeting or you go to a mission. You pray the Lord will open their eyes to show his word is true. But the second lie that Satan tells is this. Sin isn't serious. Sin isn't serious. Now, what is sin? Well, sin is breaking God's law. When the Lord says that we are not to do something, for example, thou shalt not steal, whenever we steal something, then we are being a sinner. Sin is also not obeying something God has commanded us to do. The Lord tells us to worship him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and our strength. And nobody's done that. You see, sin is failing to keep the law of God. Sin is breaking the law of God. Sin is doing everything against God. And the Bible tells us sin is a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing. Why? Because there are consequences to sin. There are consequences. In other words, you can't sin and just forget about it. But the Lord does punish sinners. There's a young man in the Bible, and he grew up in a farming community. His father and his brother and he worked on the farm. But you know what? He wasn't interested in that life. He didn't like that life. He didn't like the authority of his father. He didn't like his father ruling over him and setting rules and regulations. And he started to think, if I could only get away from here and get out on my own and go away where nobody knows me and start my life and live it my way, then things would be so much better. I'd be happy. I'd be happy whenever I can drink and whenever I can have relationships and whenever I can just do my own thing and say my own thing and be my own person. I'll do all those things, and those things will bring me happiness. And he so longed for those things that he turned to his father and he said, Father, you know the money I will get whenever you die? Give it to me now. Give it to me now, as if you were dead, and let me live my own life. Father gave him the money, and he went away to that part of the world. He thought he was enjoying himself. And for a little while, yes, sin did bring pleasure. But it was very quickly that his money was all gone, his friends were all gone, and sin had consequences because he ended up dirty, poor, alone, and ashamed. He lost his money, lost his friends, lost his family, lost his job, lost his home, everything. He was a beggar. And you know, folks, there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. Maybe you think, if I could only get free from my parents, can't wait until I'm old enough to drive or go to university or get a job and do my own thing. If I could only get out to the pubs or the clubs with my friends, if I could only go and live with that person, that would be wonderful. And you know, that would be me happy. And the devil promises great happiness, but he never fulfills his promises. What are the consequences of sin? Well, you may lose friends through your sinful behavior. You may lose money through wasting it. You may lose your health through abusing your body. You may lose your joy and happiness in this life. But more importantly than those things, sin will cost you your soul. You will lose your soul. There's a chorus we sometimes sing in our children's meeting, I have a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart when I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost and in hell if I die as I am. And you know, there are some people and they think, oh, how awful it would be if I didn't get the job I want or if I didn't get to work where I wanted to work or get to the school I want to go to or study the way I want to. How awful it would be if I didn't get the things I desired. Folks, there's something worse. Having your soul lost in hell for all eternity. And whenever you see the advertisements for sin on the television, it doesn't show you the end of sin. It doesn't show you the consequences. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you just can't wait for it to be over to get home, to get engaged in something that you know is wrong. Young people, older people, I would urge you, listen to the word of God. Sin is serious. How do I know sin is serious? Because I look at what it cost the Savior to pay the price for sin. What did it cost the Savior? It cost him his life. It cost him his precious blood being shed on the cross of Calvary. You look at the cross tonight and you tell me sin isn't serious. You look at the cross of Calvary tonight. That's what our sin cost. And folks, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior and your substitute and the one who's paid the cost of your sin, then you will pay that very same cost in your own soul in hell. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus washes us free from our sin. So here's two lies Satan tells. God's word isn't true. Secondly, sin isn't serious. But here's the third one. See, maybe you say, well, preacher, I know God's word is true. I know God's word is true. And I know sin is serious, and I know I should be saved, and someday I will get saved. But you're listening to the third lie of Satan, and it is, you don't need to get saved now. You don't need to get saved right now. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time. No, there's a man in the Bible called Felix. And the Bible tells us that as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled. He was so fearful of what he was hearing, that there is a God, that he's going to judge me, that he's going to send me to hell if I'm in my sin. But you know what he answered? He said, go thy way, Paul, for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. Now there's a man who didn't know if he had another day to live on this earth. And yet he said, go away and I'll call you whenever it's more convenient for me to talk about the things of God. And maybe you've been to church services before, and maybe your heart's been pounding because you know the preacher's been speaking about you. You know that your sin has offended God. You know that you need to be saved. And you've nearly come close. And then you thought, no, I'll just put it off to a more convenient time. Whenever you read about the things of God in the Bible, you will find that the time that's always spoken of in regard to salvation is now. Now is accepted time. I quoted that this morning. Now is the day of salvation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, now, now. Why? Because this is the time we're guaranteed. The Bible warns us, you know, if ye believe not that I am he, the Lord Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sin, then you will die as a sinner and go to a sinner's hell. But here's the problem. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And if it happens to be that tonight I'm called from this scene of time, and I'm called to leave this earth, my soul goes out into eternity, I know that I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. What about you? What if tonight was the night that the Lord called you from this scene of time? You say, preacher, there's nothing wrong with me. Preacher, there's nothing to worry about. I'm fine. One of the startling realities of being a minister is that every now and then you get the phone call that somebody's died. Not always somebody elderly. Not always somebody ill. Not always someone on a deathbed. But they have died because that's their time. They didn't know when their time was. It's a shock. And yet, the important thing is that they were ready. And what I'm saying to you, men and women, young people, boys and girls, is that the Lord has given you the opportunity tonight to be in this meeting. To remind you, you have a soul to be saved. To remind you his word is true. To remind you that sin is serious. To remind you that you need to be saved now. Prepare to meet your God. I lived for some time in Sweden. And when I was there, near where I lived and studied, there was a lake. And in winter time, for about 3 months, that lake froze over and so solid that you could go ice skating on the lake. But whenever it came really to March time, the end of March, the start of April, you got about 5.5 months of really solid cold weather, minus 20. But then you got about 5.5 months of really warm weather, plus 20. And as it were, spring and autumn could have lasted for 2 weeks. So from 2 weeks' time, you could have had ice to the water. So it was coming up to the end of March. And it was that time the thaw was kicking in, and it thawed very, very quickly. And there were two boys who were walking towards the lake one day. And the farmer of that area who put up signs by the lake had put up three signs. And the first sign said, danger, thin ice. And the boys walked on. And they got to the second sign that said, danger, thin ice, no skating. And they walked on. And they came to the side of the lake, and it looked fine, and it said on the sign, danger, thin ice, no skating, keep off. So they looked at the ice on the lake, and they thought, well, it looks okay. Maybe just try it. So they put their foot out a wee bit, and they tapped on it. Seemed to be okay. And they went close to the edge, and they jumped up and down a wee bit on the ice. Seemed okay. Thought, you know what, this is fine. They're just being overprotective. They're being overly worried. So put their skates on, they start skating. And they were skating around 5 or 10 minutes and having a great time, good fun. And all of a sudden, crack, one of the boys went through the ice. And the other one was fearful, for he didn't know where to go on the ice that would be safe. So he got off as quickly as possible. And a man who was passing at that time helped him rescue the other boy. You see, they had three warning signs. They walked by three warning signs and straight into danger. You know why? Because they didn't heed the signs and the warnings of danger. And men and women, young people, every time you come to God's house, you walk by another warning sign. Every time you open the Word of God, you walk past another warning sign. Every time you listen to a testimony, or you hear a person preaching in the open air, or you hear a tape or a CD of gospel music, you walk past another warning sign. And you've been blessed many times of hearing the gospel, and yet tonight you're still walking in danger, because just a moment and you could be in hell. And that's why I'm here tonight. That's why the preacher comes Lord's Day by Lord's Day. To hold up the Bible, the warning sign, danger ahead. Turn. Trust the Savior. So what is it that you need to do tonight? You need to deny the lies of the devil. You need to acknowledge that the devil does lie. And perhaps you've been living under those lies for many years. But you need to affirm tonight God's word is true, that your sin is serious, and you need to be saved right now. How do you be saved? Well, I want to leave a verse with you tonight. Here's what the Word of God says in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way for you to be saved tonight. Only one way for you to be right with God. Only one way for you to get to heaven. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. By asking him to be your Savior. By believing that he died for you and shed his precious blood to save you. See, there's a little illustration here on this side. And it shows that people try different things to get to heaven, to get fellowship with God. Some people try religion. Some people try hard at everything they do. Some people try going to church. Some people try to live a good life. And you may do all of those things, but you will never be in heaven unless you've come to Christ. So maybe you're at this Bible class, maybe you're in Sunday school, maybe you're at this church. You come, you're reverent, you listen to the word, you put money in the offering plate, you support the work and the preacher, but you've never been saved. And therefore tonight I urge you, don't listen to the lies of Satan, but you listen to Christ. Listen tonight as he says, prepare to meet your God. And prepare. See where you're sitting at in your seat tonight? I would urge you, bow your head and call on the Lord to save you. Maybe you need to know a little more. Maybe you'd like to speak to your minister here tonight. You'd like to speak to myself. We would love to show you from God's word how you can be sure that you're saved. But I beg you in the Lord's name tonight, don't listen to the lies of hell. But listen to the word of God. And as I quote it this morning and I finish with it tonight, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him and him alone should not perish but have everlasting life. But folks, let's turn that verse around. Whosoever does not believe in him will perish and will not have everlasting life. What about you tonight? As we bring our time to a close, are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? If not, I beg you in Jesus' name, come tonight. Come to the Saviour. Amen.